I've got a title for us to consider today, and we're calling this teaching, Flesh Has to Be Offered Up for the Spiritual. Flesh has to be offered up for the spiritual. That is something that you will soon grasp if you are entering into the deeper life teaching. One of the main emphases of our teaching is that God is after sons, daughters in these last days. He's looking for maturity, a growth. And that should be seen in our circles. And those who are sitting under an end time message of faith and the deeper life. And if it's not something you're aware of, or maybe you haven't considered, then you have to. And of course, this is why we're going to talk on this. We have talked on this often, on and off. And I find that God takes us almost like round a circle where we touch on things and then we leave it for a while. And then he brings us back. And it's interesting when he does that because there's always more that is added. So we're calling our teaching today, Flesh Has to Be Offered Up for the Spiritual. Why is the spiritual so important? Because it's Romans 8. That is where God is going to use the overcomers. Romans 8 is setting in motion the release of groaning creation. They've matured to a place where God can use them. And we see very clearly the overcoming army, the first fruits, are with the Lord wherever he goes. And they rule and reign with him. So it's very much about restoring, bringing back the divine order, which sadly many don't really understand. I've tried touching on this with some, talking and whatever, and you can see it's completely over their head. And it's not to ridicule them or criticize, it's just not revealed. And we have to learn this, that sometimes when you're sharing with a believer, there are just some things that has not been shown them, whereas you have. And of course, we have the great opportunity, we can pray for them. But we know that God is calling a remnant in these last days. The five wise virgins are rising forth. And we're going to see more and more of a distinct separation in this. And a lot of that you will see where they just do not see what you are seeing and what you are being prepared for. Most do not understand Revelation 12. It's still the mystery in the book of Revelation. And if you don't get that right, then a lot of the rest of it, you come unstuck. But you see, God has opened our eyes. He has shown us what Revelation 12 is and the man-child. So we are greatly blessed. And all of this is so that this leads to maturity, to growth, to spirituality, to our walking in Romans 8. Sometimes you find that you can't spend too long with some of these babes in the faith. And it's not to reject them, but it's just that you're on a completely different level. And you can't receive the flesh that is attached to it. I'm dealing with this very problem at the moment with a brother, a lovely brother. He's very, very hungry for God, but he's immature and he is not yet seeing the things of the flesh. But bless him, he has said to me, I submit to you because you are my elder brother. You are my spiritual father. And I take on board what you say. You see, the heart is open to learn. And I'm seeing such a maturity coming with this young man in the few weeks that I've been in dialogue with him. Why? Because he's open to change. And I always point him to the Word of God, to the Scriptures. Of course, he knows that much. He's not taught all of this. This is why we have a door that's open into Pakistan to now start to teach the deeper life. I was teaching today at the church, and we were talking along some of these lines that we're sharing, and they're listening, and suddenly they break out in applause, praising and thanking God for the word. You see, God doesn't make a mistake. As I've always said, sons will be called, some of them, right at the last moment. God will still call them if they have a heart to go on with God. That's why I always take hope, and that's why I always preach this, because some will receive and some won't. But we know that there are going to be a few who will come through in the last moment, but will be a part of that great army of overcomers with the Lord. So we're looking today then that flesh has to be offered up for the spiritual. Let's look at something familiar we know in Galatians. Here the apostle is dealing with the flesh, the spirit. He's dealing with law and grace. Great problems are coming into this church, and he's having to deal with it. Legalism, trying to bring God's people back under law, bondage. And we're seeing a lot of that going on online. How busy the devil is trying to get them to work out their salvation, placing themselves back under the law, the Torah. A lot of it going on today. But praise God, whom the Son sets free, you are free indeed. But here it is in verse 21 of Galatians 4. Tell me, you who desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one of the bondwoman, the other of the free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born according to the flesh, and he of the free woman through promise. Which things are symbolic, for these are the two covenants, the one from Mount Sinai, which gives birth to bondage, which is Hagar. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia. So he's not saying the law is wrong, not holy, and what Moses gave was not right. He's simply comparing it between flesh and spirit. He is saying that the law given by Moses will not save you. Only your life in Christ by faith will save you. This is his argument. This is what he is talking about here. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia and corresponds to Jerusalem, which now is and that is in bondage with her children. But the Jerusalem above is free, which is the mother of us all. So he's speaking of spiritual Israel, which is from above. There is a physical Israel, but there is a spiritual Israel for the believers who are in Jesus Christ. Rejoice, O barren, who do not bear. Break forth and shout, you who are not in labor. For the desolate has many more children than she who has a husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac, was our children of promise. But as he was born according to the flesh, then persecuted him who was born according to the Spirit, even so it is now. So he's now beginning to show that there is a warfare between the Spirit and the flesh. And he has used Israel's history, he has used the law on Mount Sinai, to the law that is found now in Jesus Christ. He's using these analogies and he says, nevertheless, what does the scripture say? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. You see, the bondwoman, her son, was really the heir. He was the eldest, but he was not of the promise, not of the Spirit, not of faith. And there is the difference. And so we find we too are in conflict. This is dealing with the natural and the spiritual. It's not dealing with sin, not at all. It's showing you that you are to grow and mature into a walk in the Spirit. You see, not all grow up spiritually. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 13, verse 11. 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 11. And now abide faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. So we mature, we grow up in the love and grace and mercy of God, which is the fruit of the Spirit. Because he said, by the fruit you will know them. What does it say also in 1 Peter 2? 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes desire pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. So we all start with the milk, just like infants. But as Hebrews tells us, we're to move on to the solids, to mature and grow. And it says that we are to lay aside, cast it to one side, malice, deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking. Because you can't grow in that environment where there's gossip, envy, criticism. It stunts the growth of the body. What does 1 Corinthians chapter 3? Let's look at these scriptures and let the word of God speak to us with regard to our walk in the Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 to 3. 1 Corinthians 3, verses 1 to 3. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. If fed, I fed you with milk and not with solid food. For unity now you were not able to receive it. Even now are you not able. For you are still carnal. For where there are envy, strife, divisions among you, are you not carnal and behave like mere men? For one says, I am of Paul, another, I am of Apollos. Are you not carnal? There's idolatry there. They're following different preachers, all of which we see today, much in Christendom. Nothing changes, nothing new under the sun. But you see, God won't have that of us. We're to start to grow and mature in the Spirit. You see, the natural must be changed into the spiritual. And we, like when we grow up, I know I've said this before, but you go through puberty to become an adult. And we know that this is all achieved by hormones, who send all these messages to the body. And these hormones are testosterone for boys and estrogen for girls. You get taller, heavier. You develop muscle. All of these are sending out these signals at the right time for your growth and maturity. How much more with the Holy Spirit, who works with us day and night? The natural has got to be changed into the spiritual. And this is why it requires sacrifice. Okay, we come to Christ. We are saved. We have confessed our sins. But after a while, God is going to require more. And we know what that is. Where you are to offer yourself, Romans 12, 1 and 2, on the altar. You have to come to that place where you are willing to offer yourself, to offer your will. And we're not always very good with that. We are willful. We are stubborn. And the only way that that can be dealt with is when we are willing to offer that up to God. And then the Holy Spirit, the fire, will fall. This is why you've got many Christians who walk in God's permissive will. They're not settled. They go from church to church, meeting to meeting, preacher to preacher. Many Christians are like that, not settled. And they wonder why they get so confused. And there's no growth. You have to allow the Holy Spirit to place you where he wants you and to surrender to it and not fight against it. You see, God's plan for the overcomers is to transform us into the spiritual as sons and daughters, to now grow up in the Spirit. And he's always going to work this through obedience. And we have shown you over the years that obedience is yielding to the Spirit and not resisting. It's the absence of resistance. Yielding is doing absolutely nothing. It is just yielding over and let the Spirit of God work the rest through you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. That is how you mature and grow. All the while you still resist him and doubt him, it hinders that yielding which works obedience. You see, the fall of the world, sin, has made it necessary for the natural to be sacrificed. This is never what God intended when he created Adam and Eve. This is the result of what sin, the fall, has done. So that we had to hand back the flesh, us, to be sacrificed. And that's why Jesus said, you take up your cross daily and you follow me. The cross deals exactly with the natural, the carnal, the flesh. That is its purpose, its nature, is to crucify it for the purpose that you can walk in the Spirit. Romans 8. And as we've read to you back in Galatians 4, 21, with regard to the two covenants, it clearly showed there that Ishmael had to be offered up before Isaac, which he was, because he was the elder. And it's the same with us. The flesh has to be offered up first, for then the spiritual, which was the Isaac. He was of the promise from above. And he says, cast out the bondwoman, both the son also. In other words, there is the cross to deal with it, to cast it out. Why? Because it's strife and flesh and spirit war. Light and darkness do not mix. And a lot of this is working the world out of us, our dependence on it, our relying upon it, our being deceived by it. You have to have the Spirit do this work, as you'll be deceived by the spirit of this age. That's why it says in the word, if it were possible, even the very elect could be deceived. The angel, the devil's coming like an angel of light in these closing days. And I see so many Christians online are getting deceived by AI. AI is preaching, it's teaching, it's quoting scripture. But the poison is there. And these Christians pass them on. This is a blessing, listen to this, until it takes someone to say, do you know you're listening to AI? Do they repent? Do they go before God? I'm sorry, or whatever? No, they don't. And you know why? Because they're so held by their phones. The devil's number one weapon. That's why the world is held by them. And this is why we're finding more and more what you can say, what politicians can say, is twisted, mistruded. They use facial recognition. They use voices. And they alter and change what people say. And this is going to get worse and worse. Because they're all clear signs technology, AI, is taking over. And it will control man's mind and will. And it's an absolute intrusion into the privacy of your life. That is not how the Holy Spirit works. And that is why we look up as our redemption draws nigh. We are getting ourselves ready. We're not allowing these things to take hold of our lives, to control us. Yes, God says we can use it. Of course we use our phones. But I believe the Holy Spirit is clearly teaching you, if you're sensitive, how far you go with it, how far you use it. because many do not see it at all. And that is why, sadly, so many Christians will be caught up in the Antichrist system. And they will see, when their eyes are opened, that they have been deceived and tricked by the enemy. The level of deception now is off the chart. It's from the pit. Strong satanic spirits working all the time to try and deceive and lie to us. This is why God says to be separate, to come out from among them, be separate and touch not this stuff, it's unclean. For the purpose that we can discern, not only discern, but warn and share what is happening and how people need to turn and repent to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only hope. But this comes as you allow the Spirit to work that spiritual work in you, walking after the Spirit, not after the flesh. And so the bondwoman was cast out, and Ishmael was, because the two boys didn't get on. They fought, light and darkness. And we still have that warfare today. Nothing has changed, because they regard Ishmael as the chosen one, being the eldest. There's the conflict, the fight, the jealousy. But God has his Isaacs from above. They are of the promise. They are spiritual. They receive by the Spirit. They hear by the Spirit and not by the law of the letter. And this is why at times we have this warfare between flesh and spirit. And the only way that this is dealt with is the cross that you take up daily and follow the Lord. And this is what is enabling us to go deeper now in the Spirit. I know human nature doesn't like to be controlled. We do fight with God at times. We have problems. But you see, the overcomer knows that at the end of the day, I yield. No good fighting. It's no good resisting. I just yield over to God because I trust him and he never gets it wrong. And in time, you see that wonderful work, what God has done through you when he asked you to yield over and not resist him. It encourages us to want more because we see the fruit of it. We see the blessing of it. It brings us closer to God, where you hear him and you're led and guided by him. That's all what we have been saved for, brothers and sisters. But we find that there is this conflict at times and we battle. But we know what to do as overcomers. We just surrender. We come before him, we lay it there at the foot of the cross, and the Spirit of God will do the rest. Why? As the Lord's Prayer says, not my will, but thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen.